Hello and welcome to Word for the Day. This is Father Pete Matthews from St. Patrick's Anglican Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And on today's Word for the Day, as I was preparing, I realized I totally forgot to post yesterday. So today you're going to get a twofer. I'm going to give you two reflections. First one is from Psalm 118, verse 9. It says this: "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put any confidence in princes." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put any confidence in princes. So I just thought that's such a germane verse during election year in the United States. There's kind of, I think, as Christians, two kind of extreme positions we can hold that are incorrect about the political order and its role in our lives. I'm not even thinking about partisan politics. I'm just thinking of governance in general. One is almost a kind of idolatry, especially in a democracy where you have a choice and can vote, the sense that, if the person I vote for comes in, then, and I've heard people actually say this about people they vote for, like the kingdom of God will be ushered in. Or if the person I vote for isn't elected, then the end of the age is going to come. Everything rises and falls on that candidate. And there's different versions of that, and I've seen it on both sides of the political spectrum show up. No one has a quarter on it, but it's what I would say is it's putting your trust in princes, too much of a trust, and forgetting that God is the ultimate king, and he will come and reign ultimately. That's, in a sense, the election I'm waiting for is when Jesus comes back and elects himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just shows himself as that. That's where my ultimate trust is. But there's another opposite extreme that's problematic, and which is problematic as well. And that's kind of the, I'm so spiritual, I could care less about like public life. And, God created government. Romans 13 says that. And good governance is really important for our lives. I mean, if you've been in countries where there's not good governance, it can really have a negative effect. And then there's countries where there's just outright oppression. And of course, we know that's horrible. So good government is a real gift from God. And for us to have a role in that, some of us might have a vocation to serve in government. So that's important. Of course, in a democracy, we're all voters. And probably, the bigger the context, the less personal influence we have. But as we go down to more local level, and kind of, we're able to get involved. Like, for example, in my neighborhood a number of years ago, there was a corner that people go around and just, it was so easy to speed up too much. Even I did it. And yet our neighborhood's full of kids. So the neighborhood got together and had a stop sign put in, went to the city council, got that done. That's a government public policy thing, and it blessed our neighborhood. So what I'm trying to say is, the fact that we put our ultimate trust in God doesn't mean we don't care about public life. But we do need to guard ourselves from thinking that our ultimate trust is in government, so that we invest too much of ourselves in it, or we fall into despair when it doesn't go right. And then, especially in a partisan country like we have, a democracy, that we don't demonize those who would have a different position as us. But we put our ultimate hope in God for the good of this life, and actually ultimately in the fact that no matter how good things get down, they will never be the way they should be. There are just many things in the life of a nation, a commonwealth, a community, that never get fixed. They get contained, they get controlled, but people are people, we're all sinners, sin doesn't go away, we do the best we can. Our hope is in the Lord, and in his return to set up his perfect governance for all time. Okay, that's number one. That's for yesterday. So that was your Monday reflection. Today I was reading also in Hebrews chapter 11. And that, if you know that chapter, it's just this list of Old Testament faithful saints and their faith in God's promise, in their faithfulness to have faith in God's promise, in the promise of salvation, deliverance, redemption that would ultimately find its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And, it kind of caps the chapter by saying, and all those In all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. And all those, though commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. So these are people that put their faith in God, who would, for example, Abraham, that God would bring Israel and his descendants to a land of promise. He never saw that fulfilled. He didn't even actually own any land in Canaan. And you just walk through the Old Testament, and the promises kind of amplify as time goes on. So you even get to the age of the prophets, and there's the promise of the Messiah and the redemption of all things. And the full promise hasn't been delivered, and they still had faith. And so even us, how many saints who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, who are looking to the city to come, the city of God to come when Jesus comes back, have passed on without receiving what's promised? It gives such a great realistic perspective to how faith works. We're called to put our trust in God now in this life. And, you know, there are blessings that come with that. Of course, there's the blessing of knowing you have eternal life. And in some ways, that just overshadows everything else. The ultimate promise of what that looks like doesn't come in this life, number one. Number two, God is good and we get blessings, but he doesn't promise that life will be all blessing and that things always go well. And even though we have faith in this life, you know, tragedy comes. In some cases, because of our faith, tragedy comes or persecuted. It talks about that in Hebrews 11, where people were persecuted, tortured, sawn asunder, it says, because they had faith. And so faith is always a future look to God's promise and his fulfillment. And and there's blessings through the promise itself. And of course, if we're in Christ, union with Christ and the Spirit, and the blessings of what he does in our lives, those blessings come to fruition. And we come to know his love and we walk in that. And because of the promise of the future, we can walk in joy, even in the midst of pain and sorrow and suffering. But many of the promises that are given, we live this life, we live it faithfully. And unless we're around when Jesus comes back, we die without receiving them. So I love that text because it level sets expectations. There are certain expressions of Christianity. And Anglicanism is not one of those. And in our parish, we don't have this kind of attitude. But they so over-realize, they take God's promises that really are ultimately fulfilled in the return of Jesus, and they download them to now, and they raise expectations that are way out of proportion to what God promises. And I kind of see two things that happens in the lives of people, because I've known people that are in these traditions, and I've known people who, they take the promise of healing, and they're like, God's healed us, man. It's already happened. Went to the cross, and I've had people stand in front of me who are sick as a dog, and they'll say, I'm not sick. Jesus healed me. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I'm not, we all have to work stuff out. I'm not going to get in your case. And so there's sort of a foolishness and just a foolishness that goes with it. I've also seen it shipwreck people's faith, where they expected God to do stuff, and God didn't do it. And so they gave up on God. And of course, the error they made is they had wrong expectations of God. And they were probably sitting under a teaching that gave them wrong expectations of God. They were positive expectations, they were exciting expectations, but they're wrong expectations. The New Testament posture is, listen, God loves faith. We bring things to him in faith. Sometimes he answers according to the way we pray. Sometimes he doesn't. He's God. He's Lord. And there's a mix of blessing, God response. There's the challenge of suffering. There's things we don't plan on. But the promise here and now is Christ will always be with us. He will be with us, and he'll walk with us. And then there's the ultimate promise that, sorrow, gone. Sickness, gone. Death, gone. When Jesus returns. But not now. not now. We have to live this life now. We have to live with the promise through the good and the bad of this life as we follow Jesus. And that's normal in Hebrews 11. In this glorious chapter of lifting up faith, level sets the expectation, tells us, but you still got to live this life. And it's not always easy. And sometimes it's downright really, really, really hard. And yet God is with you. And the best avenue is to choose faith and trust Christ. Okay, that's a twofer. That's Monday and Tuesday all in one. God bless and have a great day.